Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Heavenly Father, thank you for every facet of the Christmas story. And Lord, I've read it, reread it all during the month of December numerous times, and just have enjoyed every bit of it. It never gets old to me. And Lord, tonight we're going to listen to what the angel said. And then Lord, we're going to just glory in this heavenly host that came and how they lit up the sky. Lord, the beauty of it. And then the message that they brought, Lord, and I think many things that they said that night we need to hear as we look into a brand new year. So much uncertainty, and Lord, if we were to look at this world and forgot about you, and Lord, just looked at the circumstances and looked at our country, we'd live in despair. But Lord, thank you, dear God, that the angel of the Lord that night just broke the heavens wide open and reminded everyone that there's a God. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll experience something similar to that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. If I was to put a sermon title on this, I'd probably call it Angelic Advice for 2022, Angelic Advice for 2022. Preacher, what did the angel say that night? We're going to go through it. Look in verse number 10. First thing they said was this, fear not, fear not. You know, 63 times in our King James Holy Bibles, you'll find the phrase, fear not, 63 times. Well, that's more than enough for one per week. And so I think we probably need one of those at least a week. And I think one of the things we've got to be so careful because of what our country has gone through and because of the uncertainty of the future. Folks, one of the things we've got to be so careful is that we cannot let fear stop us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish in this upcoming year. Let me remind you, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now, come on, that's one of those shall be's your pastor likes to stop and say, wait a minute, we'll stake eternity on those two words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and we'll say, does that say might be? No, it says shall be, and we'll build a doctrine of eternal security on those two words. And yet we find them in other places in the Bible, it's like all of a sudden we don't believe them. And so, folks, did you get that? Watch this. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, that puts something on us. And what it puts on us is a requirement. We have to have our trust in the right place. Okay, it's one thing to say fear not, but a lot of times when I find that I am being paralyzed by fear, it's because my trust has shifted. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be a little transparent tonight. When I find myself kind of paralyzed in fear or uncertain on whether to act, and honestly, it is that spirit of fear. And I think that fear is a spirit. I think it's a devilish spirit because it's not of the Lord. The Bible says it's not of God. Well, if the spirit of fear doesn't come from God, where is it coming from? Say, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And so when I sense that in my life, then I think to myself, well, wait a minute, where's my trust at? Where's my trust? Has my trust shifted? Have I lost focus on the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 John 4:18 tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. And folks, you know what? I found this. If my love is pointed in the right direction, if I keep my love where it ought to be, come on, first of all to God, that's the first and great commandment. If my love is where it ought to be, and then secondly to others, and you know what? Jesus and others and you, still a wonderful way to spell joy. But if we love God and we love others, think about that. If we love God and if we love others and we're being driven by that, then you know what? It seems like fear just dissipates. And so, you know, we need to hear this going into a brand new year. Hey, church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I can't tell you what we're going to face. I can't tell you. Don't have any idea. I don't know all the ups and downs. I promise you there's going to be some. I'm going to make a real crazy prediction. You're going to see some form of insanity coming out of Washington. Boy, that was a brave and bold prediction, all right? You know, I just promise you, if you're wondering, well, I wonder if any, yeah, crazy's going to happen. Okay, crazy's going to happen. Crazy's loose. Crazy's running the country. And so as long as you got crazy running things, then guess what? Crazy things are going to happen. But what do we do? What do we do? You know, well, who was in charge when Paul was in ministry? I mean, come on. We don't have Nero. Okay, what did Daniel experience? Who was he under? Think about it. Okay, well, you know, here's the thing. You know what they did? They put their trust in God. They said, you know what? We're going to serve God. We're going to stand for God. We're going to obey no matter what the consequences are. So we settle all that. We just say, you know what? Let's just put our trust in the Lord. That takes care of the fear. Number two, here's, I think, another piece of angelic advice we look into. Spread the news. Look at verse 11. Spread the news. You know, no matter what's happening in the world, our job hasn't changed. The basic job of every Christian does not change depending on what's going on in the world. Spread the news. Verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what the angels did. They came and they announced that a Savior had been born. And they told who that Savior was, Christ the Lord. We passed out our gospel tracts, our 2,000 track challenge during the month of December. I said, say his name when you hand him the tract. Folks, listen to me. We need to say his name out loud. The world needs to say his name. You want to stop everybody in Walmart from talking and have them all look at you? Just say the name of Jesus Christ out loud where people can hear it and you're not cursing. And you know what? Everybody will stop what they're doing. That name still demands attention. That name still causes people to stop and look. That name still has power. There's power in that name. And so you know what? Just say it out loud. The angel said his name out loud and declared to the world that he was a Savior. This is good tidings, by the way. This news is good tidings of great joy. Watch that. This news is to all people. And the news is this. There's a Savior and he's Christ the Lord. So fear not. Spread the news. Boy, this sounds like a good game plan going into 2022. Number three, here's another one. Seek the Savior. Seek the Savior. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, by saying that, what the angels were saying was, I'm telling you about Christ. Now go find him. Go find him. Now think about that. Go find him. You say, preacher, I've already found the Lord. No, he found you. Come on, let's be reminded of that, okay? We didn't seek God. God sought us. But, you know, it's interesting. God was willing to, in this supernatural game of hide and seek, come on, God was willing to be it, and he sought us out to save us. But once we're saved, the Bible tells us to seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And you know what? Here's the thing. I mean this. I want you to get this thought. Say, preacher, I have the Lord. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you know him, but I promise you, you don't know him as well as you could know him. Come on, I'll say that for pulpit and pew, okay? None of us know him as much as we ought to know him, as much as we could know him. Here's what I want to challenge you. Think about this. Let's seek the Lord Jesus Christ at a new level. Listen, I don't know what relationship you have with him. It might be a casual relationship. I don't mean that wrong, but it might be, you know, he's my Savior, but that's about it. Well, you know what? He wants to be so much more than that in your life. He wants to be your very best friend. You know, Paul was overcome with this in Philippians 3, verse 6. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count And I count all things but loss for the excellency, look at this, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Woo! The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And then it goes on, verse number 10, that I may know him, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Listen, this isn't, he's not talking about salvation here. He's already saved. He's saying, wait a minute, there's other things about Christ that I can experience. There's so much more in this relationship. Folks, listen to me, whatever it is, and just listen to God. Okay, preacher's not playing Holy Spirit. But whatever it is in your life that could be standing between you and a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, I can tell you this, that thing is not worth it. It is not worth it. And so, you know, here we are in this last service, you know, in this year. Maybe we ought to say, hey, we've got a few days before the calendar turns. Lord, search me, O God. Come on, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. And we ought to, I think, make an effort. I mean, every single one of individually, this has to be done individually. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But you know what we could do? We could just get before God and say, God, I want to be clean. Before this calendar turns, I can't be everything I ought to be yet, but I can be clean. And we know that we can because we have the promises of the Lord, okay? If we confess our sins, first of all, we've got to look at sin and count it as sin and name it as sin. Come on, admit that it's sin. But if we're willing to do that, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. Folks, I got a great announcement. God is faithful and God is just. To do what? To forgive us our sins. Okay, you're not going to catch him on an off day. He's not going to look at you and say, you know, I checked and I've used as much forgiveness in your case as I can. No, thank God. Thank God. And there's not a person in here. I don't care. You say, preacher, you don't understand how far away I am or how much junk's in my life. I'm telling you, you know what? Before the new year turns, if you want to, God is willing to meet you where you're at and say, let's take care of this stuff. And so let him do it. Seek the Lord. You know, some people know him as Savior, and others, they're looking for that. They want to know what Paul wanted to know, the power of his resurrection, to live in the power of the resurrection. Boy, we've been teaching through Romans in Sunday school, and chapter 8 has just got me. I mean, I don't know if it was for anybody but me. I think God wanted me to teach chapter 7 and chapter 8 because he needed me to hear it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. There is a level of spiritual life. And listen. We're not getting off base. We're not going after false doctrine. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. But I'm telling you, we can walk in the Spirit. And when we do not, according to, come on, Romans 8 says we do not have to fulfill the lust of the flesh if we walk in the Spirit. And you know what? I think maybe all of us have to get to a place in our Christian life where we just get tired of losing, failing. And a lot of times when people do that, what they do is they give up. They quit church. Why? So you can go on failing? And the thing is, here's the thing. When you get tired of failing, then, hey, maybe you ought to change the formula. Because you can't do this in your strength. I can't do this in my strength. But this is amazing. But God sent a member of the triune God. I have a member of the triune God living inside of me, which means, you know what? There's some things I can do that I cannot do by myself, but he can do through me. And you know what? I just want to win more than I lose. I say this, walking in the Spirit won't make you sinless, but it'll make you sin less. And there's something about pursuing that relationship. I'm talking about this matter of seeking Christ, walking with God. Folks, listen, walking with God. We have the tracks in the back track rack, and it helps you to read through the Bible in a year, and it gives you a plan. And if you haven't grabbed one and you haven't done that yet, I had several people come to me and holding up that track Sunday morning and said, you know, preacher, I've read parts of the Bible here. I've never read it through in a year. I'm going to do that this year. And they had that track. That's exciting for me to hear. And if you've done it 20 times, why not do it 21, you know? And so, but there's something about those morning devotions. But people sometimes mistake morning devotions for walking with God. That's not the same thing. Morning devotions is that opening conversation with the Lord. It's you meeting God in the morning. And by the way, very biblical to meet God in the morning. We'd have Brother Steve Epley came and preached an entire message on it. Did a great job on it a couple years ago. And so that's biblical. But folks, that morning devotion is just opening conversation, not a continue throughout the day. I think if we're not careful, it's almost like we have got in our mind that we have an appointment with God every morning. And then we kind of leave that appointment and say, thank you, it's been good. See you tomorrow morning at this time. That's not walking with God. You know, it's that opening conversation that should continue throughout the whole day. And, you know, include God in everything. Just include him in everything. There's a wonderful peace that comes with that. There's great joy that comes in the because of the presence of the Lord. In thy presence is fullness of joy. There's something about living in the presence of the Lord that just changes things. And it gives you a happy heart. Come on, a happy heart in a very miserable world. And so just seek Christ. Seek his likeness. Tell him, I want to be more like you, Jesus. Come on, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Jesus, I want to be more like you. Seek a friendship relationship with that, with him, where you just don't want him to be your savior. You want him to be your very best friend. So fear not, spread the news, seek the savior. How about this? Number four, bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. What good advice. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest. You know what? I think God will use some pretty unlikely prospects if they're just all about giving God the glory. Well, I know that. That's just not an empty statement. It's based on Scripture. How about 1 Corinthians 1:26? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why does he use that crowd? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care what an unlikely candidate you may be to be used of God. If you just commit to one thing, Lord, if you'll use me in any way that you use me, I promise you this, you will get 100% of the glory anytime, in any way, in any place that you ever use me, you will get it all. You know what God will do? He'll take somebody like that, as unlikely a candidate as they may be in the eyes of men, and he'll say, I will use you. And he'll continue to use you as long as, come on, what was Saul's problem? He said, you know, when you were little in your own eyes. So stay little in your own eyes, folks. And if you'll do that, and anything that happens and any good that God accomplishes, somebody comes up and tries to give you a little credit, man, just stop them in their tracks. Say, whoa, wait a minute. No. That was God. That was God. Without him, nothing happens. And so bring glory to God. How about this? On into 1 Corinthians, we go to chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Boy, this is a good game plan going into 2022. Number five, spread peace and goodwill to each other. So glory to God, that's directed upward, but then notice this, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now that's a good plan right there. Okay, peace and goodwill to each other, verse number 14. Now, first of all, folks, before you can give peace, you got to get peace, okay? You can have the peace of God because you can have peace with God, and you can have the peace of God. Yeah. We get peace with God when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. But then there's another level available to us, and that is peace with God. And God offers that to us. you can have peace with God because God promises he'll be with you. And that just gives me peace. I love Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I like that verse. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I'm sure glad the God of peace is with me. And I want to be with him. Philippians 4:9, and the God of peace shall be with you. So God promises his presence. That gives me peace going forward. I can have peace because God is stronger than my worst enemy. How about Romans 16:20? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Isn't it interesting? He uses the phrase God of peace while he's bruising Satan. Hey, he's not bringing the devil peace. He's bringing me peace because he's taking care of my enemy. Satanic attacks rob us of peace. Come on. Come on. Satanic attacks rob us of peace. Yeah, everybody goes through them. Everybody goes through them. I mean, I promise you. You know, I kind of said something the other day, and maybe I ought to say it again, and I don't want to get everybody, but folks, listen to me. You don't just decide that you're going to start a church in Jasper, Indiana. You don't decide you're going to continue to, come on, so many churches, circle the wagons mentality, hold the fort for I am coming, you know, just hunker down and let's just try to make it till Jesus comes. And here's Blessed Old Baptist Church and we're just running wild and crazy. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Except, you know what? There's going to be stuff. And here's the way the devil works. Let me remind you. Okay. He'll come after church corporately, but he'll also come after individuals. He'll come after marriages. He'll come after families. He'll come after our kids. Hey, folks, listen to me. He's been doing what he does for a long time. And he don't take a day off. And so what do you do? What do you do? Well, preacher, you just curl up in a fetal position. No, you don't. You realize there's a God of peace. And there's nothing that the devil can do. Come on now. God is stronger than our enemy. And that gives me assurance. I've watched the devil. I mean, I'll tell you how he's attacked me through the years. I've seen him attack plenty of our people. He attacks us with temptation. He attacks us with discouragement. He attacks us with our past failures. Come on, can I get an amen there? Isn't that crazy? I mean, something that's 20 years old that you've got under the blood. Come on, that God says he's forgotten about, buried in the deepest sea, removed as far as the east was. Listen, if that is being used as a club against you, you think that's God? It's not God that brings that stuff up. That's the accuser of the brethren. He attacks us with past failures. He attacks us with our present shortcomings. Attacks us with the allurement of this present world. Attacks our minds. Attacks our spirit. Attacks our emotions. Attacks our flesh. Attacks our family. You know, folks, the devil's a bully. He is. That's what he is. He's a bully. But I've got good news. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know what? We've got a big brother. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know what? Hunker down. Watch it. If you know, weather the storm. You know, determine that you're going to keep your faith in God. And you know what? God is the God of peace. Spread peace, goodwill to men. We've got to get that peace ourselves first. You can have peace because God has given you a church. Boy, church helps. Church helps. Confusion robs us of peace. You know, Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, where do you hear and learn and receive and hear and see? You know where you got that? You got it in church. Okay, so when these times come into your life, you know, just be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. What's the price of quitting church? The price is the peace of God. Show me a backslider who lives with inner peace. Come on, bring him to me. Show me a backslider that lives with inner peace. You know, that person doesn't exist. I told a story here a while back, and I keep thinking of this young lady. Wish I'd have gotten her more information. She was checking us out at Walmart, and she recognized me. I didn't recognize her. And she said, I used to go to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I know who you are. I used to go to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And by the way, folks, that was because of some faithful bus workers that are in this room. Thank you for being faithful, just bringing these children to church. And I asked her, while you were there, did you receive Jesus? And she assured me she did. And we started to leave, and she called my name, and I went back, and she said, I wanted to tell you the happiest years of my life was when I attended Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what she had when she was here? Peace. And by the way, probably lived in a crazy circumstance, probably had a less than ideal home situation, but you know what she did have? A place where she could come, a place of peace. Come on, an oasis, a refuge. Okay, just somewhere where, you know what, you come in and things are, listen, we're not perfect. Come on, we're not perfect. But there ought to be a place where things are kind of like they're supposed to be. People love each other. People care about each other. People pray for each other. And you know what? We're all here to bring honor and glory to God. Just, you know what? I told somebody I was talking to today, inviting them to church. And I said, you know, you're not going to find a perfect church. But I said, I think you'll find a sincere church. I think you'll find people, for the most part, that are there for all the right reasons. And I said, we just gather together, try to help each other and help each other through stuff. And that's what church is. It's that place of peace, okay? You can have peace because God understands that you're a project, okay? He understood that when he took you on. I find this phrase, the God of peace, I'm kind of chasing around. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, but the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the God of peace, he uses that phrase when he talks about the fact that he's in a process of sanctifying us wholly. Failure robs us of peace. You know, we're all going to fail, but I think every once in a while we need to hear this little song that the kids sing. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Preacher, I can't make it. Yes, you can. Preacher, I can't live the Christian life. No, you can't, but God can live it through you. Amen. Preacher, I've messed up. Okay, then get up. Okay, then get up. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again. Don't give up. Listen, I want to say this. Don't give up on yourself because God hasn't given up on you. Anytime somebody wants to use the term hopeless around me, they're not going to get by with it. Because you know what? As long as there's God, there's hope. As long as there's God. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about getting peace ourselves, which we struggle with. But then now we have an opportunity to take that peace that God has given us and to spread it. Because that's what the command was here. This is what the angels said as they appeared. They said, spread good peace, or peace and goodwill to all men, towards all men. That little phrase, goodwill, means kindness, benevolence. Folks, let's not fail in this new year to look for opportunities to be a blessing to other people. I preached an entire message several years ago entitled The Case for Good Works. And sometimes those of us that stand where we ought to stand on salvation, and we're very adamant about the fact that there are no works involved in salvation. But if we're not careful, we preach so much against good works being involved in salvation, we miss all of the verses in the Bible that talk about our responsibility once we're saved to be involved in good works. Think about that. You know, here's a few verses. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Again, we're talking about our horizontal responsibilities going into 2022. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Boy, I like that. Isn't that good? Think about this. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, the world's not going to understand us. The world's going to be critical of us. You know, they're not going to get why we stand where we stand and why we live, the way we live. Lost people can't understand all of that. But I'll tell you what they do understand. They understand kindness. They understand benevolence. They understand somebody reaching out and helping somebody else. And the Bible says to all men, to all men. Okay, yeah, the Bible, I can take you to the verse that says, especially to those of the household of faith. And I think we ought to be extra generous, come on, and extra alert when it comes to those that are part of our church. But that does not mean it should be restricted to our church. I think a lot of times the thing that breaks through a hard heart is an act of kindness. I'm talking about that old atheist. I'm talking about that guy that won't have anything to do. I'm talking about that guy that cusses twice as loud when you walk by because he knows you're a Christian. But you know what? The Bible says, listen, love your enemies. Listen, do good to them that despitefully use you. Yeah, I know, but it's hard. It's hard for me sometimes. You know, I kind of like that whole eye for an eye. Yeah, I'm sorry, my old flesh don't want to do that. You know, I don't like that verse, vengeance is mine. I want to be in the vengeance business sometimes. But, you know, God says, hey, no. Nope, you know what got through to you when you were lost? The love of God. You know what can get through to somebody else? The love of God expressed through you, one of his children. And so 2 Timothy 3:16, we read it. Your preachers, how many of you believe all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? Wait a minute. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so let's take these pieces of advice. I mean, you know what? God just lit up the heavens. Angels overflowed the banisters. I think they're begging God. We can't keep this quiet. We got to tell somebody. And so God looked down and said, well, everybody's asleep. And then he said, well, I'll tell you what. There's some third shift shepherds down there. And the angel said, let's go. But in their words, we find wonderful instruction and great advice going into a brand new year. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful portion of scripture and this wonderful time of year. And Lord, many of the things that we spoke of tonight, I don't know why it is, but it seems like the Christmas season, a reminder of your generosity, a reminder of the greatest gift ever given, a reminder of your love. It seems to spark that in us. It seems like we are at least extra kind and extra generous and during this time of the year. But Lord, help us not to get over it. Lord, 2022's, Lord, right there. We're about to reach out and turn the doorknob and step out of one year into a new one. And Lord, we need you. We need you. We needed the instruction that we heard tonight. So Lord, prepare our minds, prepare our hearts for a brand new year. Lord, help us to get clean. Be clean, dear God, show up in good form, good stead, so that we go into a new year close to you, seeking you, looking for that new level of relationship to get closer. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to let the piano player begin to play. The invitation's open. The Lord's dealt with you. Be tender to do business with him.
Brother Matt, I'm going to have him come up here just for a second, and he wants to share something with you. He came to me a couple weeks ago, and God had done an amazing thing in his life and his heart during our last revival service when Brother Hightower was here. He wanted to counsel. He wanted to get God's good confirmation, but I'll let him share his testimony with you tonight.
Well, the first service he was here for Sunday school, he gave, if you remember, his testimony about how he was called to preach. And it wasn't, I mean, he didn't give an invitation. He didn't preach about anyone being called to preach. Just gave his testimony. And I went downstairs to meet with some people, and the Lord called me to preach downstairs. So
that's that. Amen. Many of you know, Brother Matt went off to Bible college, finished his four-year degree, went back and got both his master's degree and his marriage license. And I've met with not only him, but I've met with him and Natalie both. And they're fully committed to going forward in this area of their life. And the one of the things he said when he went to Bible college, I don't feel like God's called me to preach, but I'm going to prepare so that I can be whatever God would want me to be. And now God's confirmed that into his life. So you pray for him going forward. And I'll be spending some time working with him, and we're going to insert him in certain opportunities and give him some pulpit time here and there, mostly away from here, because I don't want you to suffer. Well, then again, I am gone a lot, so did I mention that tonight? Amen. Aren't we blessed? Amen. You pray for them. You pray for them, because like I said, we got an enemy. But you know what? I think he gets too much playtime. Come on, I think probably he gets more attention than he's deserving of. Because you know what? Greater is he that is in me. And so anyway, we're excited about this. Excited with working with them. Excited for what God's going to do. We don't know the time frame. We don't know the what's. We don't know the where's. They don't know any of that right now. But I just know that God's got a plan.